Just stand quietly for a few moments. Be still and know that He is God, that He is here this morning. Jesus, we confess this morning that we look in lots of places to be satisfied. We all do that. But as we worship this morning, we're reminded that it is only You. It is only You that is enough for any one of us. It's only Your love for us and Your grace, Your promise of peace, the amazing promise of Your presence with us that satisfies. And so, settle that truth in our hearts, Jesus, as we continue to spend time together in Your presence. Amen. Please be seated. So who here has done their Christmas shopping already? Who's finished? One, Charles and Anne. Only once. Anne hasn't, but Charles has obviously done. Have you done any Christmas shopping, Charles? No. There we go. So we've still got the madness ahead of us. So I came across a group that calls themselves the Ebenezer Scrooge Appreciation Society. Any members of the Ebenezer Scrooge Appreciation Society? This is genuine, eh? This is not a joke. I know I tell jokes every now and again, but this is not a joke. And basically it consists of people who hate Christmas. I'm not sure if Brent is a member of that society. Might well be a covert member. Some are atheists, fair enough. I would understand if an atheist joined an organization like that. But interestingly, there are quite a few Christians who are part of this genuine society. It's an online society. And I think that they've joined because of their disillusionment around Christmas. And I can get that a little bit. All that they see at Christmas time is gluttony and alcohol abuse and stress and commercialism and loneliness and everything that is so far removed from Jesus that they really just want to count themselves out from Christmas time. So does our disillusionment and some of our frustration with Christmas mean that we don't celebrate it? Does it mean that we just ignore it? I don't believe so at all. The angels announced Jesus' arrival with these words, "I bring you good news of great joy." Jesus is coming. "I bring you good news of great joy." Jesus' coming is, of course, the greatest news ever, and I believe well worth a day to celebrate it. I know that some of you will argue that Jesus was, of course, not born at Christmas time, some other time in the year, probably October. I get that. Some of you will argue that Christmas is, in fact, comes from a pagan religious festival of some sort. I understand that. Some of you will say that the Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas. I hear that, and those are all interesting discussions, but I don't believe it changes the fact that we are meant to celebrate the fact that God came down and lived amongst us. Old Testament believers, New Testament believers, the early church all celebrated high days, holy days, festival days, and they did them for a purpose. And there are kind of three things that happen each time that either Jewish believers or Christian believers celebrated a festival. Firstly, it reminded each other and taught their children about God's mighty acts in their midst. That's what festivals are about. Religious days are about that, reminding us that God is at work, celebrating God's goodness and worshiping God. And so whenever there was any kind of festival, that's what they were doing. And they did it repeatedly year after year after year. They stood as witness particularly to their children, and I think this is really important. These festivals reminded their children about God and how He was alive and at work in their world. And they pointed their neighbors to the fact that God is alive and at work in their world. And I don't know about your neighbors or about the world that you find yourself in, but I think our world needs good news of great joy. Our world needs peace. Needs the Prince of Peace. And so that's why we as Christians need to celebrate Christmas. Because we're not only reminding ourselves and telling a story over and over again, we're reminding our children and pointing them to Christ and what He's done for us, but we're also telling our neighbors and our world. Now, I'm not quite sure if we're supposed to go as far as the Americans do They showed on the news the other night these houses that they decorate. You've seen them. Perhaps some of you have seen them firsthand. The boys and I literally had our mouths hanging open when we just saw all the lights and how people decorate their garden. I'm not quite sure that's what I have in mind. But I think that somehow our neighbors need to get to know about what we're doing on Christmas Day. Isaiah 42, verse 1 to 4. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. That's what Jesus came to do. Incredible news. It needs to be remembered and it needs to be shared. And so I want to invite you this Christmas to be intentional about how you celebrate Christmas. I want you to be intentional. I want you to reflect about how your day can remind you and your children about God's mighty acts in this past year. We have a thing in our family on Christmas Day where we take a candle and we light it and we pass it around the table. I'm not saying you must do this, but just one of the ways that we do, and say each person is to say something about how God was good in their life this last year, something they're grateful for. And we just go around the table and we do it as a family, and we've drawn other people, other family members into that when they're with us on Christmas Day. Just a way of saying, God is good this year. We need to celebrate God's goodness on the day. God is alive and at work in your family and in your home. And worship God. And I don't just mean come to church on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, but find a way to worship God together as a family. And so I guess the purpose of today is to invite you to pause and to reflect on what kind of an intentional Christmas you would like to have. What do you want your Christmas Day to celebrate or to point to? Because celebrations all point to something. They either point to gluttony and greed and materialism and substance abuse and escape and loneliness and unforgiveness, like some people experience, which is what many people reject, or it points to everything that is right about Christmas. Simplicity of lifestyle. Remember, Jesus was born where? In a stable. Simplicity of lifestyle. Christmas must point to that. Christmas must point to generosity, particularly to those in need. Christmas must point to humility, must point to joy, must point to peace, to forgiveness, and most importantly, to the fact that God is with us. And so as people of faith, we are called to look different at Christmas time. And so can I offer you three questions? I'm going to put them up on the screen to discuss. Before Christmas, now as a family. Firstly, how will you reflect Jesus' call to live simply this Christmas? First question. Go and spend some time talking together. Dads and moms, involve the kids, grannies and grandpas, involve your children and your grandchildren. How will we reflect Jesus' call to live simply this Christmas? I think it's a good question. Secondly, how will we express generosity as a family this Christmas? How will we express generosity? And that's not necessarily just generosity to one another. It's easy to do that. But to those that God would perhaps want to reach through your kindness. And your third question to ask yourselves is, how will we express gratitude and worship to God this Christmas? You just look at those for a couple of moments so that you will remember them. And take a photo of it of your camera if you're like me and going to forget it. I'll leave it up there for a couple of seconds. How will we reflect Jesus' call to live simply this Christmas? How will we express generosity this Christmas? And how will we express gratitude and worship to God this Christmas? So I want to close with something that someone wrote, and I haven't been able to find out who. But listen to these incredible words about Jesus. He was born in abject poverty, yet a choir of angels filled the heavens with songs of his greatness. His birth defied the laws of biology, and his death defied the laws of mortality. No miracle is greater than his life and teaching. He owned no cornfields or fisheries, yet he spread a table for 5,000 and had bread and fish left over. He never walked on expensive carpeting, yet when he walked on water, it supported him. When he spoke, the wind and the seas obeyed him. His crucifixion was the crime of all crimes, yet in God's eyes, no lesser price could have been made for your redemption. When he died, few mourned, yet God hung black crape all over the sun. Those who crucified him never once trembled at what they've done, yet the earth shook beneath them. Sin couldn't touch him. Decay couldn't claim his body. The soil that was reddened with his blood couldn't claim his dust. For over 3 years he preached the gospel, yet he wrote no books, built no cathedrals, and seemingly had no great financial resources. And yet 2,000 years later, he's still the central character of human history, the perpetual theme of Christian preaching, the pivot around which the ages revolve, and the only redeemer of the human race. For every other job, God sent a man. But in order to rescue and to recycle you, God became flesh. That's worth celebrating this Christmas. Amen. I ask the band to come forward. They're going to just lead us quietly as we're going to go into a time of prayer. So remain seated, and we're going to kind of sing and pray, something different that we'll do this morning. Sing and just pray prayers of intercession for our world together. Together. So we pray for our nation. We song said faith to move mountains, and many of us this morning would feel like there's a mountain weight over our country, just dragging it down. So we pray for South Africa. We pray with faith and hope that Jesus can shift things, that Jesus is sovereign, that he rules over South Africa. And so would you pray quietly for our nation? You deal with our fear, Father. We confess this morning that many of us, if not all of us, are afraid, and some a little, some a lot, but we're afraid about what's happening in our country. And some of us, there's a desire just to run away. But you call us to be hope, to speak hope, and to pray hopefully. So we bring our nation before you this morning, Father. Pray that you'd pour out your love and your spirit upon all who are your children, that they might live, hopefully. But pray for those who do not know you, that Jesus, you would break into their lives. We pray for those in government and leadership, for our state president, that you, Jesus, would stand before them, that you would touch their lives, and that you would lead them into all truth, that they would lead our nation well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Waiting here for you with a hand.
says that God knows our hearts. So I invite you to pray for those in your life who this Christmas will be tough, the grieving, the lonely, the homeless, refugee, orphan. Pray for them. Presence and joy of Christ to touch their lives. Father, there are many in this world who this Christmas is daunting. Think of the millions of refugees throughout the world. Many children who are orphans, many who are lonely, many who are destitute. And we know some of those people, Lord. Every one of us in this room knows some of those people. And I pray that you would use us to bring Jesus, the message of joy and hope and peace, into their lives. May we be your hands and your feet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Everything that he's promised and that his faithfulness is true. And so I invite you to pray for yourselves, for your own families and your loved ones, for Jesus to be real to you. Lord Jesus, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Singing, hallelujah.
So we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.